at men's prayer yesterday morning. Pastor Shane was praying at the very end for today's service, and he prayed that Holy Spirit would move in such a way that the Lord would demonstrate himself before the message was ever given. The title of the message is Only What Is Real. And he demonstrated that he's real. That he's real. And we get to embrace him. We get to come up close to him. And that's real. And if you haven't learned, if you haven't learned or cultivated that practice of his presence, you're missing out. You're missing out on what is real. Because we get to sit at his feet. We get to stay there. We get to embrace him. And when we learn to do that, the weights of this world, the things that oppress us, the things that weigh us down can fall off just in those moments. Sometimes the situations don't necessarily change, but the weight of the situations gets lifted. And so Holy Spirit heard Pastor Shane's prayer and he demonstrated what's real. That's all we want is what's real. We want real Jesus. Amen. We want real Jesus. Amen. This core passage says, dear children, it's from 1 John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. And we're going to zero in on truth today. And the truth is that when we find truth in Jesus, everything changes. When you walk into the room, Jesus, everything changes. Nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. And this message came last Sunday night at our corporate prayer meeting. And he probably doesn't even remember praying this, but Pastor Shane toward the end prayed, we want the real thing. We want the real thing. You know, we're living in a day when false things keep coming forth in the church community, in government, in all kinds, all manner of life. We live in a day when artificial intelligence is everywhere. You don't know what you see, but we can trust this. If you're looking into the face of Jesus daily, you're seeing him, and he will show himself. He will show himself. He will make himself known. He is making himself known to people that are looking for him. And that's real. That's real. And that's all we ever want around here is what is real. We want his real love. We want his real grace. We want his real power. We want his real wisdom. We want his real direction. We want every attribute we can think of our Savior. That's what we want. That's all we want. That's all we want. That's how we function. That's how we function. And when Pastor Shane prayed that prayer, I heard immediately, and I wrote it down in my notebook right there and then there, only what is real. Only what is real. Everything we do around here is to bring out what is real about our Savior. And that means how we love and care for one another. That means how we pray. That means how we study. That means everything we get to do is to demonstrate real Jesus to anybody and everybody that is looking at our lives. Anybody and everybody that's watching our lives, we get to demonstrate what real Jesus, who real Jesus is. And we will do that imperfectly. Because we're still imperfect, we're still in these fleshly bodies, but we're not using the fact that we'll do it imperfectly as an excuse to do it imperfectly. We're actually using that as a springboard to say, Lord, help us to do better. Mold us and shape us more and more into your likeness so that we do that even better. So that we love the addict, so that we love the sinner, so that we love the person in darkness, that we love one another, in fact, in such a way that the world notices how we love one another and says, I want a Savior like that. Discovering what is real and only what is real will not and cannot happen without paying attention to the voice of truth. That was our word last year, the voice of truth. The Lord prepared us last year for this year to advance the kingdom, to move onward and upward in this relationship, in this walk, in how we live out Jesus in culture, in the workplace, in the school, wherever we happen to be at any given time. But that will only happen at the feet of Jesus. I said when I introduced this word, this advance in the kingdom word, this onward upward word, that it was going to happen on our knees. It was going to happen at the feet of Jesus. It's this moving onward and upward, but yet we bow down. It's a dichotomy. So when I was a kid, this will come to no surprise to many of you in the room, but I was a strange kid growing up. Yay, strange kids. Yay for all strange kids growing up. And I was a bit of a loner, and I spent a lot of time. We lived near Mill Creek Park, and I spent a lot of time in Mill Creek Park alone, which I would never encourage a parent to send their child there, allow their child to go there alone in 2026, but I spent a lot of time there. I loved the outdoors. I loved exploring. And I remember as a kid looking up at the sky and thinking, there's more. I had a belief in God, but I didn't know Jesus. I had a belief in God, and I remember walking around at times looking in the sky saying, I know there's more about this Jesus than I know. There's more about this Jesus than I know. And I would kind of cry out, Lord, I don't even know if I knew who I was talking to really, because I didn't know him, but I knew God existed. And I remember one day in particular asking my mom, how do we know that we're real? I was a kid. How do we know that we're real? How do I know that there's really a person named Jeff Shoke? And she said, ask your Sunday school teacher. And I don't think I ever did. I don't think I ever asked that question of a Sunday school teacher. But it was always in my mind. How do we know? How do we know if we're real? I always had this passionate search for truth, for what's real and what's only real, only what's real. I don't want anything fake. I don't want anything false. And along about my junior year of college at 20 years old, I remember sitting at my desk, and most of you have heard this story, and I'm telling you for a reason. I was sitting at my desk, and somebody had sent me a Christmas card. It was in December. It was the end of my first semester there as a junior. I transferred there. And I had this little card that was put in a Christmas card to me, and it had Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And I remember sitting there in somewhat of a struggle, maybe a personal crisis more than anything. It wasn't anything major going on, but I was just wondering where my life was going and what I was going to be pursuing and what relationships were about and all manner of things on my mind. And this verse popped into my eyesight, view of my eyesight. And right then and then in the room, I said yes to Jesus. I said, I'm going to trust you with all of my heart. Tired of trying to figure out what's real on my own. Trying to figure out what's false on my own. Trying to figure out life on my own. So right there at 20 years old, I said yes to Jesus. And my life has been on a trajectory of trusting Jesus ever since, acknowledging him in everything, and having him direct my steps. When I said yes to that invitation to trust Jesus with my life, transformation began immediately. I knew something had changed inside of me. I knew I was real. But I knew Jesus was real. And I began to develop a voracious appetite for the scriptures. When I read that verse in my dorm room that day, we had Bibles on campus because we had chapel requirements at Grove City College. So we had to go to chapel. So I had a Bible there. I had grown up in the church, but did not know Jesus. I pulled out my Bible that day and thought, well, if this verse was really good, there's probably more good stuff in here. And so this voracious appetite for the word began developing. And I started discovering great truths about the plan Jesus has for his people. And I came across this verse, this passage in Psalm 139. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully, some verses say uniquely, and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I love that we prayed for children and babies today. I love that Logan brought her son up on the platform and talked about how he's speaking to her about a song to sing today, just because of how he responds to that song. All the days ordained for these little ones, all the days ordained for each one of us were written in his book before one of them came to be. Before one of them came to be, when we were made in the secret place. And I find it so interesting that we were made in the secret place, and it's still in the secret place where we meet him and find everything that we need. That's sitting at his feet. That's bowing before him. That's cultivating a life in the secret place. And that's something that we don't do naturally. But when we learn about his amazing, amazing transformative love that forgives us of sin and helps us in our trials and all the things he brings to the equation, we just want more. We just sang it today. I just want more. I just want more. I just want more of you. Last Friday, Heart of David was here, and I love the plug that they gave. We have another one coming up here at Real Living. There's something about when the body of Christ, because Heart of David is a collection, for those that don't know anything about Heart of David, it's a collection of worship leaders from various churches. It's not one church. Different churches host this gathering, but it's different churches. And I love that it's different churches. It's not, we don't care about a name on a building. We care about the name of Jesus. And this group comes together for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to lift up the name of Jesus for a couple of hours. It's all we do is praise him. All we do is praise him, which was what we're born for. We're born for that secret place. That's a secret place. You can get lost. And when they were here last Friday, there was a song they had done that I had never heard before. And it says, I'm in love. I cannot remember what I was doing before I knew you. I know I'm not singing the melody right. Connie's looking at me like that is so off. And she's not wrong. I cannot remember what I was doing before I met you. And I stood there that night. I was right down here just worshiping. It's like, oh my gosh, I honestly cannot remember much about what my life was like before Jesus. He's that transformative. He's that transformative. And then the next line says, I've been captivated by the love that saved me. I've been captivated by the love that saved me. It's so interesting because we have an enemy that loves to trap us, loves to have us in bondage, loves to put us in bondage to sin, to sinful behaviors, to addictions, to all manner of things that are destructive. And then we have a Savior that says, I want to captivate you in my love. And that is a freedom. That is such a freedom. And so I've been singing that song, ever since I heard it last Friday. I've been singing it better than I just did, hopefully. I think I've been singing the actual melody. He hears it no matter what. But have you allowed, you allow yourself to be captivated by the love that saved you? It's relevant because, again, when I introduced this word for the year, onward and upward, advancing the kingdom, I said that that's going to happen as we're captivated by his love. That's going to happen as we're in his presence, as we engage with him privately. Everything we engage with him privately that he does to us and privately, then we get to spill out publicly. Because we're being molded and shaped during those times. He's making deposits in us. Because it's in that environment, it's in that place, that secret place where self dies. Paul said it, I die daily. Now, he was actually referencing to the many threats that were against him. He talked about the many, 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 many people that tried to kill him. But then he says this in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I no longer live. Have we reckoned ourselves dead to advance the kingdom? Have we reckoned ourselves dead to ourselves to move onward and upward? The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me. So it's in that secret place, in that sitting before him, learning to sit at his feet where self dies. My own motives. Wanting to get my own way. And when we also read this in Colossians from Paul, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. You died. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Ask yourself, is that true of me? Not me, you. Ask it of yourself. Does that describe me? And if the answer is no, there's no condemnation in that. I don't bring that out to condemn anybody. I bring it out to say, how does that happen? How does that happen? How do I hide my life in Christ? We live in a culture that suggests self-reflection is important to discovering our identity. That is false. While I'll suggest that self-reflection has value for examination and thanksgiving and many other reasons, but it's absolutely not the place for finding our identity. The place for that is only in Christ. It's only in Jesus. Finding your identity only in Jesus. Because that's how you'll discover what is real. It's the only place we'll find what is real is in Jesus. And that's a treasure. Paul tells us in Corinthians, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves, the scripture says. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? I think Gary Sloan described that today as miraculous, that Jesus comes and lives inside of us. But then he says, unless, of course, you fail the test. So test yourselves. Jesus, are you real in me? Ask him questions. He will answer you. So last week, Last week, Wes Black got up here and shared a vision he had. And the vision he had was, briefly, I'll share a condensed version, was men in the room. And we were standing along the walls. The doors and the windows were all open access. People had free access to come through. But the men were standing along the walls with our arms raised. And the Holy Spirit said, "The pathway has been cleared. The pathway has been cleared." And I was at a prayer meeting yesterday. I walked in and there was already discussion going on, and it was engaging, and it had relevance to that word. Relevance to why we gather to pray together, why men gather on Saturday morning at 6:30 at Pastor Shane's house, little plug, why we do that. It's because as we're praying, we are coming as men into agreement for kingdom purposes. There's absolutely nothing about it that has anything to do with flesh. We're entering into the presence of Jesus and praying for people. We're praying for what's going to happen here on Sunday mornings. We're praying for all manner of individuals and groups and other churches and other places. We're praying for that pathway that is cleared for people to step out of themselves, step out, reckon themselves dead to Jesus, or dead to self and alive in Jesus. Dead to self, alive in Jesus. What we do together matters. What we do separately matters. But both are important. Both are important. Before Jesus left the earth, he said to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another." How we love and care for one another. And that covers so much ground. That means reaching into one another's lives during difficult times. That means helping carry one another's burdens. That means praying together, worshiping together, having a meal together, which we're going to do after the service today. And then in John 17, Jesus, again, before he was leaving the earth, he told the disciples that he is praying for them, and he was praying for them that they would be one as he and the Father are one. That is a pretty firm oneness. The unity between Jesus and God. And he says, I'm praying for you to operate like that. And so when we're gathering for prayer in agreement, for one, we're doing something together that is encouraging unity, is encouraging Jesus' prayer for his disciples. We're getting to live that out. But then he also goes on to say this: my prayer is not for them alone, them being disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and me, and you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. And so how we function together, how we love one another, how we care for one another, how we do things in unity and oneness is sending a message . I was sending a message to Aaron Tucker when he walked in the room for the very first time. He said, how you love one another speaks a message to him that the message of Jesus is real. And it's transformative. And we get to do that anywhere and everywhere we go. We not only get to, we're commissioned to. As we live out in real time only what is real, those who are watching us will believe in Jesus, and because of that, the kingdom advances. So as I was walking into prayer yesterday and heard them talking about this word, I think I heard. I wish everybody could have been there, because every man who shared something, it was like sitting at the teaching of Jesus. Every word had relevance. Every word had life to it. Every word had direction to it. But what we do together matters, and our prayer together on Saturdays matters. Pastor Shane at one point was talking about prayer, and he said, at the prayer gathering, he said, I have to not really ever keep track of, like, who comes, how many come, who comes, and who's not here, and all of that. And I said, well, I got that covered, because I'm a list maker. I'm a detail guy. I'm always keeping track. I have a list on my phone of everybody that's ever been at men's prayer meeting. 86 men have been to prayer meeting at one point or another in the year and a half that it has gone on at Pastor Shane's house. And not all of them are from here. There's at least 20 some guys from other places, other churches that have come. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about Wes's vision he had. And I want you, if you have been to men's prayer meeting at Pastor Shane's, can you stand up? Even if it's just one time. Now I want all of you who are standing up to make your ways to the walls, between the windows or the walls. Don't cover the doors, because the doors were open. Don't cover the windows, because the windows were open, even though they're not open. It's cold out there. And I want you to raise your hands, because that was what he saw. And I'm telling you, what we do together matters. There's something about this visual. There was something about the visual of what Wes saw. That is relevant to advancing the kingdom. The pathway is clear, he said. The pathway is clear. Because the altar is open. The pathway to Jesus is wide open. And I'm convinced, and this is absolutely no short shrift to women. We love our women. Our women are powerful forces. And this is in no way any short shrift to women. But what men do for Jesus matters. Men that are chasing after Jesus matters. And I don't know if Easy and Benaiah are along the wall. They're out there. But Easy and Benaiah are at prayer meeting. Benaiah's been there once. He's a baby. But Easy's there every week. I love that Knox is over here. I love that some of our young men, Wyatt's over here. Trey's over here. Toby's here. Harry's back there. I was going to say Caleb, but he's not really... younger. He's still a young man. Yeah. Yep. The Lord showed me to do this. Because it's a visual. It's a visual of a very relevant message that Wes, who grew up here as a kid, and he and his wife and children showed up here about 6 weeks ago. And Holy Spirit did something where a week ago he's getting visions. He said, if anybody would ever told me I was going to be up in front of the whole church telling the church something the Lord showed me for the church. That's the work that's going on. That's real. This is real. And it matters. You guys don't have to leave your hands up all this time, but you can if you want. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to have you take your seats yet. Because when I close out the message, these guys are going to be positioned. And if you're a man in the room and you need prayer, if you're a woman in the room and you need prayer, go to a woman. But if you're a man in the room and you need prayer, these men are going to pray for you. But we're not over it. We're not done yet. In Acts chapter 5. So, in Acts chapter 5, the disciples are doing all manner of ministry, all manner of things for the kingdom. And they got in trouble, and they got put in jail for it. And they were told not to speak any longer in the name of Jesus because they were causing all manner of disruption. I'm convinced that if we're being vessels for the kingdom, we're going to in some way be disruptors of some kind. And so they're in jail, and the scriptures say that an angel came and broke them out of jail and said, actually, go, he sent them into the temple courts and said, keep telling them about Jesus. Tell them what I've done. And so the jail doors open miraculously, and they go and do what they were told to do. And the people that put them there call for them to come before them. They have no idea that they're not there any longer. So they sent officers to the jail to get them. The officers come back and say they're not there anymore. And then somebody comes and says, oh, those people, they're out in the temple courts and they're preaching. And so they bring them in and said, hey, I thought we told you not to speak anymore about this Jesus person. And they said, well, we can't help but speak about him. We can't help but speak about him. See, when we're at the feet of Jesus, when we spend time at the feet of Jesus, and we go into that secret place, we can't help but speak about what he's done and what he's doing. You can't help it. Because that's who we are. That's real. It's our identity. It's our identity. Your identity is not your profession. Your identity is man of God, woman of God, child of God. And they're deciding, well, what are we going to do with these people? What are we going to do with these people? And there was a man named Gamaliel who was respected among them, and he came to them and he started speaking to them and said, be very careful what you do to these men. Be very careful how you handle this situation. And here's what he says. Whoops, I don't know what I did there. Could you go back to that last slide, whoever? I don't know what I did. Nope, next one. He said, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in, had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. When it's real, we won't be able to stop talking about it. We won't be able to stop worshiping him. We won't be able to stop proclaiming his name. And no earthly effort to stop what God's doing will succeed. So be it. So be it. That's what we're part of. That's what you're part of when you walked into the room today. You're part of this assignment. And lives are being transformed because of it, because of your participation, because of your obedience, because of your yeses to Jesus, because of your yeses to show up at a prayer meeting, your yeses to show up for the remnant, for your yeses to show up for the belonging, for your yeses to show up for the jubilees, for your yeses to show up to teach a class, for your yeses to work in the food pantry. There's all manner of ways God is using us as a body. But we want nothing put on. We want nothing manipulated. We want nothing that is false. Only real. Only what is real. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here. I have a question. When's the last time you sat at the feet of Jesus with no other reason than to let his love captivate you? I said this in class this morning. You know, I think sometimes, especially for us men, that we sometimes view letting the love of Jesus captivate us, we sometimes may view that as a feminine thing. That is a lie. That is a lie. One of the most masculine things a man can do is surrender his life to Jesus and worship him. As we close, we'll call the prayer team down here, but we also have men all around this room. And I want to encourage you. The pathway's been cleared. Pathway's been cleared. There's pathways that are cleared to wherever you need to go. I encourage you sometime this week. Find time alone. And let the love of Jesus that saved you captivate you for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. He will do something. He will meet you there. I'm going to pray. We can all stand. If you have never surrendered your life to real Jesus, there is a wide open invitation today. If you have surrendered to real Jesus, But there doesn't seem to be any movement. In this walk, then I want to encourage you. Go to one of the guys on the side of the walls. If you're a man, if you're a woman, come down to the prayer team. I believe that some of the women in the prayer team that are down here. Or just come sit at the altar and talk to Jesus yourself. You don't have to go to a person. But I absolutely know that we as Abundant Life Fellowship are positioned to advance the kingdom in 2026. To be purveyors of a message that is inviting to a people that are maybe lost or confused or desperate or addicted or captivated by sin and darkness. And the Holy Spirit wants to turn the tables and say, I want to captivate them by myself, by my presence, by my love. So Jesus, I pray for this people. I pray for whoever this message is for. Whoever has wondered what's real and what's not real. Whoever has battled within their own mind as I did as a young man. What's real? What's false? I pray today that people will take a step on a very clear path. Take a step down a very clear path to your throne. And they'll say, Jesus, here I am. Have your way in me. Have your way in me. I can't carry this burden, this load by myself anymore. I can't figure it out by myself. As we spend a little bit of time in worship, join us. If nothing else, join us in that. And then afterward, you're all invited to go have dinner, continue this fellowship. And I pray for that meal even now. Pray for that meal even now, that it'll be a blessing to our bodies, that the fellowship that goes on there will be for the kingdom. Will be for the kingdom. All this is for you, Jesus. All this is for you, Jesus. I pray this all in Jesus' name.